As soon as you open this door here, it'll bang even into the door. You'll see right behind the door, the top drawer there. No, bottom, look, there's five drawers. You see them, plastic drawers? Yeah. All right. So what do we have on the agenda for today, Yemir Tashem? First of all, we want to finish with the Eretz HaTzvi. Ratz Kitzvi. And we'll again try to sharpen up what we said yesterday about the two categories of Shlichus. That's what I want to see if I can do. The second thing that I want to mention to you is I found it. Thank you so much. There should have been sugar in there, but I guess maybe not.
You didn't say you wanted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my fault. It's a package deal over there. All right. So I found an article here, and I just want to share with you at least the punchline of the article. And if you'd like, we'll photocopy it for another time. And then finally, to begin the sugya of, thank you, of Zmani Adloka, Zman Adloka Snerkan. Then those are the items on the agenda for today, and we'll see if we can accomplish that. Okay then? So do you have a copy of the article from the Ratz Kitzvi, which we gave out?
Yes.
You have one?
Yes.
Hopefully you'll find it. Now, if you have it, then kindly turn to page Kuf Lamed Dalet. No, I'm sorry. Correct my correction. Kindly turn to page Kuf Lamed Ches. Can you take this out of your way here? Vidami Bazeh. Now, in order to appreciate this, we're going to review what we said yesterday. And this is a Gemara Masechta Pesachim on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara establishes the following regulation, the following rule that governs Nusach Birchas HaMitzvah. And that rule goes the following. That if the mitzvah is efshar al yedei shliach, if it's a mitzvah that lends itself to shlichus, then the bracha is al. For example, al bir chametz, because I can send a shliach to destroy my chametz. Can I not?
Al akilas ma'aseh.
Well, that's a problem. Okay, so that requires another rule, which we haven't even gotten to yet. But right now, the first rule is that the exceptional bracha, the exceptional mitzvah requires an exceptional bracha. In other words, the general rule is lamed, right? Lasok b'direi Torah, lehaniach tefillin, lehafrish tshumas of maestris, lomul esaben, etc., etc., etc. The exception to the rule is a mitzvah she'efshal l'kaima al yedei shliach, and then we indicate that shift in the nature of the mitzvah by substituting an al for the lam. That's what it says in the Gemara in Pesachim. So he quotes here a machlokes. Again, it's not really a machlokes because both the Ramban and the Ran agree that the bracha on Ner Chanukah is lahadlik with a lamed. But there are two explanations as to why Ner Chanukah gets a bracha with a lamed. Because bepashtus, before the Ramban and the Ran, we would have said, let's classify Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah she'efshal l'kaima yidei shliach. I can ask you to light my Chanukah candles on my behalf, and therefore the bracha should be al hadlokas ner Chanukah. So the Rabban gives his answer, and the Ran gives his answer. The Ran's answer, and we find something similar in the Rush, is that haderech lahadlik biatzmo, that the way Chazal formulated the mitzvah reflects the general way that we should fulfill the mitzvah, and we should be fulfilling the mitzvah of Chanukah by ourselves. In other words, rather than send a shliach, we should do it personally. Why? Mishum chavivus hamitzvah. And he goes on to say that as a result of this chavivus hamitzvah, and if we want to do the mitzvah ourselves, it's considered as if it's the efshar al yedei shliach. And this you'll find on page Kuf Lamed Zion in the paragraph of Hine. Now, Rabosai, this shita of the Rosh and the Ran is a little bit odd, because the concept of chavivus hamitzvah, that rather than avail myself of a shliach, I should do it myself, I mean, that could apply theoretically to any mitzvah. You know, if I have a chavivus for bedikas chametz, so maybe instead of asking you to do the bedikah, I should do it myself. In fact, the Gemara says that as far as a socher and a maskir is concerned, then we could assume that the renter will fulfill his obligation because of chavivus hamitzvah. He wants to do the mitzvah. So what's unique about Chanukah? So I was thinking that maybe at this point we can mention Rav Bezalel Zsolti. What was Rav Bezalel Zsolti's chiddush? And his redefinition of Mahadran. Who remembers? Please don't all answer at once, because it gets me nervous that everyone remembers everything I said in the name of Bezalel Zsolti just about 48 hours ago. What was the big chiddush? Yeah, Jeff? That Hider Mitzvah and Chanukah is not a reflection of what? Universal Hider Mitzvah of Zekeh Yaveyu, but it's built in to the mitzvah itself. We had 5 nafgaminis, if I remember correctly. Here, perhaps, would be the 6th nafgamin. That when I fulfill Hider Mitzvah, it's not just, you know, I'm in the mood to embellish the mitzvah, I love the mitzvah, I cherish the mitzvah, but rather this is the way Chazal established the mitzvah, with a built-in Hider Mitzvah. To such an extent that the Sheilas Yavetz upgrades the status of the Nero Shel Hidur to the equivalent status to the Ner HaIkri. Ad kedei kach, that we mentioned in the name of the Sfas Emes once, if you remember, that with regard to the Hidur Mitzvah, everybody agrees that Kavsa Zokuk Lo, they have to rekindle the lamp. And you can make a brach on the Hidur Mitzvah, etc., etc., all the discussions that we had. So perhaps what the Ran means here by Chavivus HaMitzvah, in the case of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, as opposed to Al Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, and don't go down the path of Shlichus because of the Yoch Chavivus HaMitzvah, he doesn't mean Chavivus HaMitzvah in the general sense, because that applies to every mitzvah, and you basically reduced this entire halacha, the whole sugya of Al, to naught, to a null set. It always should be Chavivus HaMitzvah. But he means the Chavivus HaMitzvah as it was established in the very Takan of Chanukah. And that Chavivus means that I should get personally involved Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad in the mitzvah of Chanukah. Now again, this fits a lot better in the Ramah's frame of reference than it does according to the Rambam, because the Rambam has only one Madlik. The Ramah has each and every one of us being Madlik personally. So I can't guarantee you where the Ran and the Rush stand on that issue. But even according to the Rambam, there's some sort of a personal involvement in the mitzvah so far as the Hider mitzvah requires that the number of candles reflect the number of people. But now we get to the Ramban. The Ramban likewise assumes that the bracha of Chanukah is lahadlik ner Chanukah. And the Ramban also addresses the same question, why lahadlik, this should be an exception to the rule, and the bracha should be al, insofar as this is a mitzvah, she'efshal l'kaima al yidei shliach. But the Ramban gives his own answer. Says the Ramban, shiny hasam, this is towards the end of that paragraph, gaviad lokas neros, the hadloka he mitzvah. 3 words. Hadloka he mitzvah.
Does he mean Iker mitzvah?
Very odd. What do you mean Iker mitzvah? What does that mean? Is there a bind going out and denying shlichus? I can't send you for the mitzvah because I need that hadloka myself? Obviously that's wrong. So okay, I'm lucky you have mitzvah. Why does that make it into a brach of lamed as opposed to a classical mitzvah sheyesh bo shlichus? So Ramban is very ambiguous. You know, the Rav Zichron Rioch used to always teach us that when we went to Ramban, you know, sometimes you go through a Ramban and Melchamas Hashem, it's like lam v'yidish golos, you know, it's like 25 lines. So the Rav used to always point out that for 20 lines, you work through the labyrinth of technicalities and mechanics. Finally, and this is the whole challenge of learning about, you finally figure out that there's one line, which is the punchline. And if you finally decipher that very strange line in the Rambam where he makes the breakthrough, it justifies all the work you did, all the sweat and toil that you put into understanding the Rambam. This is another example where the Ramban uses very strange language in a very ambiguous way. In order to explain the Ramban, I would like to go back to the Prima God. And once again, we have two categories of shlichus, if you remember the Prima God. The Prima God, which is quoted here on page Kuf Lamed Gimel, which is in Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Tes. The Prima Gadim says the following: Yesh Lomar, regarding the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the lav shlichus mamish hava. Now, again, I told you many times, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Prima Gadim. His mind was absolutely razor sharp. You can't learn Yeridea and say you know Yeridea without the Prima Gadim. Again, you could read lines and say, well, I could spit it back on an exam because I know it superficially. But that all the pilpula shel Torah in your day is all in the Prima God. And I'm tempted to add a little word of hesped for my father, Zichron Focha. When I sat shiva for my father, I found out something that I never knew. And keep in mind, when my father passed away, I was past 35. I was no youngster. But this I never knew. Because my friend Rabbi Weinberg, I don't know if you know him, Pinchas Weinberger, told me that he heard from Rabbi Bezdin Olvashom, who was a contemporary of my father, that my father knew Yoredea Bal Peh, Chelek Aleph, Shach, Taz, and Prima Gadol. So if you would have told me Shach and Taz, okay. I mean, that's an accomplishment. Keep in mind, my father got smicha at the ripe old age of 21. But when you add Prima Gadim, I mean, that's just mind-boggling. So I guess as a son, I knew my father was bright, but I didn't know exactly how bright he was. In any event, the Prima Gadim says, Lav Shlichus Mamish. And you could just be very cynical about it, laid back about it, and say, it's all above my, so he didn't mean it, and it's what do you mean, Lav Shlichus Mamish, and Shlichus Mamish. You know, what is this, a Lubavitcher who ends his schmooze with Menachem Mendel Schneerson? What's Mamish? So the answer is that I honestly believe that I'm in a funny mood today. That Prima Gadim had two categories of Shlichus, and therefore Lav Shlichus Mamish. Now here's the paradox. In the case of a mitzvah sheva gufo, the famous principle of Tosfos Rit in Kiddushin is that there's no shlichus. In the case of a technical maisa, which is called a maisa kof bialva, there's no shlichus. Ad kenei kach, if you remember, we had a discussion about the Machna Ephraim, who says, I can ask my goyish of Poland to put up a maker, because putting up a maker is only a technical, mechanical act. It's not a Torah's mas. So we have now, watch this, two polar extremes, which are both, they both fall off the earth. Imagine the earth is flat, right? We all know the earth is flat. So one person falls off from this side, the other person falls off the earth from the other side. And the earth now is shlichus. So what falls off on this side is a technical action. If it's a technical action, I don't need shlichus. I can't send a guy for a shliach. Because atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris. So the guy is mufka from shlichus, but it's a technical act. No shlichus. Now I have the other extreme. I have an act which is so profound that I have to do it myself. That's called a mitzvah sheva gufa. I have to wear the tefillin on my body. My body has to be personally involved in the asiyas ha-mitzvah. The Rav Zichroni Baruch used to always tell us that if you look at the nusach of the shliach tzibur on Yom HaKippurim, the Shliach Tzibur at one point in the Nusach HaTfilah of the Avodah, he turns to the Tzibur with one word, Titharu, purify yourselves. So the Rav asks the obvious question, he's the Shliach Tzibur. Why is he turning to the Tzibur and saying, you purify? Why can't the Shliach Tzibur do it for you? And the answer is, the Shliach Tzibur could go only so far. I can represent you in terms of the Tefillas Musaf of Chazor Sashat, but when it comes to Tara, you jump into the mikvah. I can't jump into the mikvah on your behalf. It's a mitzvah shebe gufa.
Isn't that a quote of the Kohen Gadol speaking?
Yes. The Kohen Gadol turns to the people, and after he recites the vidui, which he does three times over, at every single section, you'll see it in the Tefillas Musaf, the liturgy of that Musaf, and he turns to the people and says, Titaro. It's all based on Sugis and Yuma about the Kohen Gadol. Why is he saying Titaro? The answer is, I can only go so far. I can represent you, but not jump into the mikvah on your behalf. Mm-hmm. The process of tshuva is a mitzvah shebegufo. I cannot do tshuva on your behalf. So those are the two extremes. Now, in the middle, we have two cases or two categories of shlichus. That's my claim. Nobody says this, and you have a right to be very skeptical, and that's what you always are, which I appreciate. One category of shlichus you can't argue about. Shlucho shel adam kemoso. A whole sugya of Masechta Kedushin. How do we know minayin shlucho shel adam kemoso? And the Gemara has a limud from Gerushin. The Gemara has the Alfusa from Kedushin. And the Gemara applies it to Kinyanim. It means that you're the boss. I am appointing you as my agent, as my... It's called in Hebrew Bar Chikai. That's actually Aramaic. You become my representative. I bestow upon you. It's like smicha. You know, here's the shliach, and I put my hands on his head, and I say, I'm giving you smicha. All my powers, I'm transferring to you. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu giving over the baton, passing it over to Yoshua. And now, the shliach stands in place of the mishalech. Ad kedei kach. How far does it go? The Gemara says that the shliach cannot testify as one of two Eidim on the Maisa Kiddushin, the Maisa Gerushin, the Maisa Kiddushin. Why? He has no negiyus. He's not testifying on something that he'll gain from. He has no benefits whatsoever. No financial remuneration, if there's such a word. But the answer is, because he's testifying about himself. He himself becomes the bialim over the Kiddushin, over the Gerushin, to implement it. The chalos, the result, relates back to the Mishalaya. And then the Gemara in the Sefer Kiddushin tries its hand at an alternative source for shlichus. And that's the shlichus of Shechitas Karban Pesach, where the Pasuk says that one shochet could shecht on behalf of Kol Adas Yisrael. We can all gather together and be menuyim in one chabura, on one little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. And one shochet on behalf of everyone. The Gemara says, nay, you cannot derive shlichus from the shechita of the shochet in the chabura in the Korban Pesach. And the Gemara gives us kind of a vague explanation as to why not. And the Gemara says when it comes to Kodshim, and the Kohen, generally speaking, does the Shechita on behalf of the Bala Karban, is Rov Maseyim al Yedei Shliach for some reason. I would have said just punkfaker. If Rov Maseyim al Yedei Shliach, what could be a better paradigm of Shlichus to derive Shlichus? Name. The Gemara says we cannot derive Shlichus. And what I was thinking is that the reason why shlichus in kodshim and a paradigm case is Korban Pesach becomes the antithesis almost of shlichus. Shchit in kodshim is antithetical to shlichus. Is for the following reason. Remember, we had the two extremes that fell off the face of the earth. One was a maisa shebegufo. This is not an action which is meant to generate transfer of ownership. Chalos Ishus, Chalos Kinyin. It's a Maisa Shechita. Shechita is a mitzvah shebegufa. You cannot appoint me as your shliach. And not only that, I'll go even a step further. Every shlichus, in classical terms, is predicated on bialus. I'm going to marry this woman. That's what's called das. I'm going to divorce this woman. That's called das. I'm going to enter into this kinyan. That's called das. That's why Chayr Shot V'Katan could never enter into any of those three actions, because La B'nei Deyan. When it comes to Shechita, Shechita has nothing to do with das. We mistakenly compare two concepts that sound similar but are fundamentally different. What we're talking about in Shechita is Kavana, not das. Kavana means I have to have in mind that I'm doing this as an act of Shechita, for the command and the mitzvah of Shechita. That's not das. And it's very possible that a child could implement a Shechita in Kodshim. We might need Katan, God alone made up God, but that has to do with supervising him. And the Gemara says that Chalitza, this is Sugya in Yevamis, does not require das. It only requires kavana. Kavana means I have to know I'm doing the action as opposed to misase. And the Gemara says that if a man was fooled into believing that through chalitza he marries this woman and he enters into the chalitza, he enters and implements the chalitza, then it's matir ha. It's valid. Because he had kavana for the maisa chalitza. That's called kavana. That would not suffice on the das. He was totally misinformed about what his chalitza accomplishes. That's tos and das. But we're not dealing with das, we're dealing with kavana. And kavana applies when it's a maisa shebegufo. When I have to physically get involved in an action in order to achieve a goal that the Torah requires of me, that's called a maisa shebegufo. I have to get physically involved. So now the question is, how do the Bnei HaChabura, in the case of Korban Pesach, fulfill their mitzvah of Shechita HaPesach, which is one of the Tariq mitzvahs? And if you'll tell me Shlichus, I'll tell you no. Shlichus is inappropriate, inapplicable, for two reasons. First of all, you're not the bailim over the Shechita. Shechita is not a maisa that requires das. And secondly, Shechita is a maisa shebegufo in the classical sense. It's like putting on tefillin or jumping into a mikvah. I cannot appoint a shliach. It's got to be my goof. So what is going on over here? The answer is, this is not shlichus. This is a whole new parasha. And this is a maisa in which the Torah creates a mechanism that if I need to fulfill this mitzvah, the Torah has to grant me some sort of method or mechanics to facilitate this mitzvah. How is everyone in this chabura, which could be called Adas Yisrael, going to fulfill his obligation of Shechita HaPesach and fulfill that mitzvah? V'im Tomer, and if you'll tell me Shlichus, there's no Shlichus here in Shechita. So the Torah created a brand new entity of his Maisa is my Maisa. He is operating on my behalf, but the Maisa is my Maisa. This is not Shlichus. In Shlichus, the Maisa belongs to the Shliach. But in this parsha of Chabura, of Shechita, we're talking about making every single member in the Chabura as a Shochet. It's the exact antithesis of Shlichus, because again, it's a Maisa Shebegufo. How can you tell me Shlucho Shalom Keboso in Shechita? It makes no sense. The answer is, it's a brand new parasha. And it's generated by a certain, what I call it, Tziruf, which the Prima Gadim insists is the basis, the underlying basis for allowing you to light the candles of Chanukah on my behalf. Lav Shlichus Mamish. Says the Prima Gadim, the mitzvah of Hadlaka doesn't lend itself to Shlichus. Hadlaka means I'm lighting the candles. That's a classic mitzvah shebegufo. How could it lend itself to Shlichus? Can your Hadlaka be related to me? The answer is, it's a parasha of mitzvah shebegufo in which some other individual is my extended arm, and that maisa relates to me. It applies whenever the Torah obligates me in a mitzvah, wants to give me the opportunity of appointing a shliach, and in so doing undermining the very essence of shlichus. So the Torah creates a brand new parsha of shlichus to facilitate the ability to send a shliach for a maisah shebegufo. The shliach himself is just doing a maisah shebegufo on my behalf. He's a nobody. He's a nothing here. He doesn't register. He just does something which the Torah recognizes a maisah and now says that maisah is the maisah of the mashaleach. And it's a brand new parsha of shlichus. But now, just 1 second, I just want to finish so I have it in mind. The Prima Gadim wants to answer the following question. How does the maisa of the shliach in Adlokas Ner Chana magically become my maisa? What's the catalyst, the agent, that links up this shliach, in quotation marks, with the mishaleach, with the Baal HaBayis? What makes the Baal HaBayis into a madlik vicariously through the adlok of the shliach? It's not Torah Shlichus. The answer is, in the Prima Gadim's mind, Mamono, the fact that he's lighting your Ner Chanukah. What that means, tremendous repercussions, la'alocha, I'm not paskin it, that there is no such thing, according to Prima Gadim, of appointing you as a Shliach. You light your candles, again, in get, which is classical Shlichus, be wonderful. The Shliach could buy a cloth, authorize a sofer to write the get on his klaf, meaning the shliach's klaf, because he's the balabas. He's in the driver's seat. I have transferred all the responsibility and all the control over the maisa gerushin to him. He's in charge. He's the bailim over the Torah's maisa, because I start with my bailos and I transfer my bailos to him. But in the case of a mitzvah where there's no bailos, like shchita asah pesach, in the case of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, where there's just the mitzvah is Hadlokah, by what mechanism can the Hadlokah of the Madlik, who I appointed as my Shliach, relate to me so it's an extension of my Hadlokah and I'm considered the Madlik? Is he going to go out and supply the Ner, like the case of the Get, in classical Shlichus? Says the Prima Gadim, no. He's going to have to light my candle. And that's like Menuyim in a Chaburah in the Korban Pesach. If we're all manui on one lamb, on one Korban Pesach, then the Maisa Shechita of Reuven is going to relate to all the members of that Chaburah as if they personally, physically, did the Maisa Shechita. And that's how they fulfill the Mitzvah Shechita, which is this brand new Chaburashaft Shlichus, in which we're all linked together in one group. How do we link together in Chanukah? Says the Prima Gadim, through the vehicle of ownership over the Ner. Who says it? Berzon says it. Do you like it? That's up to you. You want to walk out of here and say Berzon is full of hot air? That's your right. There's no kfiya datit over here. And I think that that's the last line here in the Prima Gadim when he says that it's a maisa kof fiyam. Maisa kof means that from the perspective of the madlik, the shliach that I appointed, he's doing nothing. He has no bailus. It's not his mitzvah. Misamcha. You're going to dig into your pocket because I appointed you and buy the oil? No. You're involved in a maisa kof. This is, from your perspective, the last thing of shlichus, the furthest in the earth away from shlichus. And finally, and then the floor is yours, the Ramban says, if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is hadlaka, then that has to be indicated by a lamed lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Why? Because the Ramban wants to make a sharp distinction, a heker, so to speak, if we could talk in Chanukah terms, between shlichus in a mitzvah and the shlichus of tziruf, in which the hadlok of the madlik relates back to the madlik himself, to the who's not physically madlik, but I mean the baal habayis. What gives the Ramban the right to generate this new mechanism, which is lav shlichus mamish, in which you are my extended arm? The Ramban says nothing. He doesn't breathe a word about the ownership over the Ner. To accuse the Ramban of maintaining, as the Prima Gadim would insist, that the Shliach is lighting the Nair that belongs to the Baal Habayis, in my books, that's not fair play. We're going to have to find a different mechanism from the Ramban's perspective that allows for this new entity of Shlichus to operate. And I believe that the answer to that riddle is that in the case of Ner Chanukah, we're dealing with a Chovas Bias. Let me explain. If Ner Chanukah would have been a Maisa Hadlaka, in a classical sense, that every single person is obligated to physically light the Chanukah, if it wasn't Ner Ish Ubeso, then Enochinami, we have no green light to apply the paradigm of Korban Pesach, of Shechita Sachabura, to Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Because in Shechita Sachabura, we are all jointly owning that lamb, right? The korban, I meant to say. Could be in the case of Achsenoi, we are jointly owners of the same Shemen. But that's not the Ramban. The Ramban is not talking about Achsenoi. He's talking about the basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And he allows you to appoint a shliach without any ifs, ands, or buts. No stipulations, no requirements. You don't have to own the candles. So what's the mitzarif? What allows us to make an equation between Ner Chanukah and Shechitas Korban Pesach? And the answer has three letters to it. Starts with the bays. Ends with a tough. And as the yud in it, you guessed it. It's the bias. The bias itself is the mitzarif between your hadlok as my shliach and me as the owner of the bias. The bias generates a chiyuv. It's got to be equipped with an erchanik. The Ramban holds that my hadlok could be achieved through you, because where do you light that candle? In my bias. According to this claim, and again, fight me tooth and nail, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say the following. The Ramban would not validate the following shlichus. Ich bin da, my bias is here, and you're going to go ahead and light a Ner Chanukah on my behalf, Darten. Ich bin da, nicht du bist Darten. You're out in Bayit Fagan or wherever you live. And you're going to add an extra candle to your candle on my behalf. I call you up and I say, Jeff, I can't light my own candle. Do me a favor. Light an extra candle for me. This is like, you know, on a death wish, my last intent. Light a candle for me, right? It won't work.
Ditto if it's in the Mashalayach's house and the Shliach is not Yotze.
No, the shliach is nobody here. You know, he'll have to fulfill his mitzvah in his house. But he happens to be here in my house. That's going to be the case, if you remember the Magen Avraham, with Kabbalah Shabbos, if you recall. And we're going to require Befanov, right? Take a look quickly on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Magen Avraham in the bottom right column, in the name of the Bach, right? Adam Shehidlik Yachal Ahadlik Leisha Ulevarech. Correct? Ulevarech. You have it? Kuflam and Gimel, bottom right. The Magen Avraham, in the name of the Bach.
Okay.
Ukegon Shomeres Etzlo B'Shas Habrocha. So where is he lighting? He already was Yotze, but where is he lighting? On behalf of his wife or another woman, in the house of the woman. She's Omedes Etzel. Adkenei Kachta de Marsham, which you'll see on the second side of your page, Kufla Medalid, understands that. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Kufla Medalid, the big paragraph.
Yeah, but no, that's not the one I wanted here. Oh, Adkenei Kachta de Yad Yitzchok. I don't know, Yechiel, if you're able to find it, no? Okay, so the Yad Yitzchak in the middle paragraph here, what do we say his name was? Glick? Okay, we have to look in a phone book for Yitzhak Glick. Okay.
Glick.
He may be the chief rabbi at Tzfat, who knows? I don't know.
He's a lawyer, I have to know.
Oh, you have to know Yitzhak Glick. Ask him if he wrote a book or he knows someone in his ancestry that wrote a book called the Yad Yitzhak. Maybe he'll lend us a copy, you know, a complimentary copy he'll give to the yeshiva. And he says that what does the Magen Avraham mean? And you'll take a look at line 5 or 6 in the paragraph of Michomer, and he says that this is a concept called Arvus. He quotes the Rush, who says that you have to be there at the time of the Bracha, which, by the way, might answer the famous question how a man could come home from shul on Friday night, make kiddush for his wife. He already was yotzi the Doraisa of Kiddush Zokas Yom Shabbos Kachem in Meiriv. She's obligated Doraisa because she hasn't made kiddush yet, and kol she'yesh lo b'shomer yesh lo b'zocher, she has a Doraisa obligation. So maybe the answer is that there's an arvus, but again, she has to be there to hear the kiddush. It's not that she appoints me as a shliach, it's a whole new din. And based on the Rush, the Yad Yitzchak applies this halach of Arvus to halachas ner Chanukah, ube'emes hadinu, that he's trying to explain the Magen Avraham, to aisha tzricha lamot sham b'shas hadlaka. Do you see those words, b'shas hadlaka? In the Magen Avraham, I didn't see that. In the Magen Avraham, I saw b'shas habracha. But he's identifying bracha with hadlaka. So she's got to be there at the time of hadlaka. I'm offering the following possibility, that this din of Arvus is identical with our din of Shlichus and Kachim, of a new entity of Shlichus, in which my Maisad Laka is implemented vicariously by you, but it becomes my Maisad Laka. But where's the Mitzaref paralleling Chabura? It's my bias. Now, do I have to be there physically at the time that you implement the hadlaka, my bias? Here I think the Yad Yitzchak went too far. Because he identified in the Magen Avraham and the Bach, bracha and maisa hadlaka. But whichever way you'll have it, the lowercase condition would be that you light on my behalf in my bias, I don't have to be there. And the higher case, bombastic requirement to limit this to Arvus is only befuddling. Not only are you lighting the candle in my house, but I'm there at the time you light the candle.
The logic of being there, I just don't get it.
I don't know. That's the piece of the puzzle. I don't know, Sam, if you're in this, but me and Yechiel are trying to find this Yad Yitzchak. We know his name is Glick, but beyond that, we can't seem to find it. So there's a missing piece of the puzzle, and I feel very badly about it. But he assumes that there's a new concept to replace Shlichus, which is called Arvus. And we really have to figure out what the mechanics and the rules and regulations that govern this new concept called Arvus. I'm just going to borrow this term Arvus and use it for my purposes. Admittedly, I don't believe for in a million years that this is what the Yad Yitzchak had in mind. I'm telling you straight up. I'm not trying to lie to you. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your head. I'm just using the terminology of the Yad Yitzchak for my own personal selfish purposes. That this Arvus is a reflection of a new category of Shlichus in which my Maisa is achieved through you, vicariously through you, even though you're not a shliach, even though you're a kof, so to speak. I don't mean to call you a monkey, I'm not being pejorative. You know, they asked, okay, I don't want to say this.
Was your...
Don't ask me about that story.
No.
So, okay.
was your construction at all contingent on the fact that the person who does the shkita for the Karim Pesach is part of the Chabura?
That's an interesting question. Because, Sam, your question really lies here on page Kuf Lamed Vav. Okay? What happens on page Kuf Lamed Vav? One person is going to light the candle on behalf of all the Bnei Abayis. and they're all yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah. Who is that person? Is he a member of the household? Or is he a fremdo off the street? And Reb Shmuel Rozovsky vacillates back and forth on this very question. The Chacham Tzvi, who predates Reb Shmuel Rozovsky by two and a half centuries, writes on the right side, Echad mipnei abayis. And Reb Shmuel, on the top left, if you'll see on the third line, I'm sorry, the second line, V'ulai, he himself is in doubt, he vacillates. Afilu al yedea acher, she'eno mipnei abayis. I believe, Sam, that this vacillation back and forth in Reb Shmuel is your exact question. Who is this shliach? What links him to the Bnei Abayis such that they now are considered vicariously, each one of them, to have implemented a Maisad Loka? And the answer is, there are two ways of understanding that linkage. One way is to say that he lived in my house, in my bias, mi pesach besi mi machutz. The other way is to say is that he himself is one of the Bnei Abayis.
Okay,
and you could go.
What happened by Korban Pesach? I mean, the way it's quoted, does it have to be one?
Just let me refresh my memory. You know, I haven't learned Korban Pesach in a long time. let me just think.
I think so.
So if that paradigm is to be taken to its extreme, then the Chacham Tzvi is right. That if we parallel Chanukah to Bnei HaChabura and Pesach, then the person who's lighting the Chanukah should be one of the Bnei HaChabura.
Because otherwise your parallel doesn't work.
If you hold like Reb Shmuel, you mean?
Yes, the
Ulai,
right?
The Ulai of Reb
Shmuel. It's also true in the Gemara itself.
Again, I don't know enough about Korban Pesach to answer your question.
But it's right here by
so I just if you can look it up again, I think it's right there on what is it, Samach Vav or wherever it is there in the Sugi of Korban Pesach, the very beginning, I think. And also, you know who goes into this, who definitely will pick up your question, is the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a gewaldige treatise on Shechitas HaPesach. Now Rabosai, just to finish up and then you can ask all your questions, the Ramban. The Ramban says, why is the bracha lahadlik ner Chanukah? Because shiny ner Chanukah, the hadlokas haneros hi a mitzvah. And I don't understand the Ramban. I'm just saying this dramatically. I really do think I understand the Ramban. But l'chora, I don't understand the Ramban. How could the Ramban say that the mitzvah is hadlokas ner Chanukah? If it's hadlokas ner Chanukah, then it's a mitzvah sheva gufo, and as we know in the name of the Tosfos read, there's no possibility of shlichus. Is the Ramban completely throwing shlichus overboard? Does that mean that according to the Ramban, the only way I can be yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah is if I do it myself? Means that the Ramban is going to have to accept the Taz. You remember the famous Taz? How did Rav Zeir allow his wife to light the candles on his behalf? Says the Taz, Ishto Kigufo. And all the sugyas about Asinoi, that's not operating with Shlichus. And even the very Halach of Neri Shubeso becomes quite complicated if you hold that the Ramban is rejecting Shlichus. The Ran and the Rush never rejected Shlichus. Adarabba, if you would ask the Ran and the Rush how to classify Chanukah, they would say it's a classical Shlichus. Norvas, there's Mahadra, and there's Chavivus HaMitzvah, and therefore Ein Derech Lemanos Shliach. It's rare that we would be Lemanos Shliach. To come along and say the Ramban completely throws Shlichus overboard? I'm afraid to say that. But what I would like to suggest is the Ramban wants to say this is a unique Shlichus that operates in its own mechanics. I appoint you, but I am the Madlik. If I am the Madlik, how do I demonstrate that it's my Adlaka? The answer is Lamed. Whenever I say a brach with a Lamed, I am demonstrating that I am personally involved in the mitzvah. But here's the Ramban's chap. When I look at it and I take a video picture, I'm not involved in the Adlaka. I might be sleeping in my bed upstairs. But nevertheless, I'm considered the Madlik. Hadlokos a mitzvah. That's the Lamed. And I would go a step further, if you'll allow me. The difference between a Lamed and an Al is whether the bracha is on the Maisa mitzvah or on the Kiyuma mitzvah. What do I mean? The Maisa mitzvah belongs exclusively to what we call the Gavra Bar Chiyuvah. If I'm obligated in the mitzvah, then I have to do the ma'isa mitzvah. And now the bracha will be on the ma'isa mitzvah. Not so in the case of a shliach. A shliach could not possibly make a bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah. He's not obligated in the mitzvah. The only thing that we could allow the shliach to make a bracha on is on the kiyum mitzvah. He's in charge of setting up the kiyum mitzvah. On that, he can make a bracha. How does the bracha itself reflect this shift, this change from chovas gavra and ma'isa mitzvah over to kiyum mitzvah? We shift the bracha from lamin to al. Frekta Ramban. If that be the case, then Ne'er Chanukah should fit the perfect mold of a bracha ba'al, that the shliach himself could only make the bracha on the kiyum mitzvah. Says the Ramban, nay, you're misunderstanding the role and the mechanics of the shliach. The shliach is not in charge of the kiyum mitzvah. He's just an extension. He is just a... what word am I looking for? Oof. He's a vicarious mice, osa mice mitzvah. What do I mean by vicarious? He's not doing the mice mitzvah. It looks like he's doing the mice mitzvah. But no, his mice mitzvah is the extension of the balabais. The real true madlik, whose osa mice adloka, is the balabais. Call it yada richta, whatever you like to call it. Is Memelo, the Ramban says, yes, there is shlichus in Ner Chanukah. But it's not the shlichus that you and I think of, where the shliach is now creating the kiyuma mitzvah. Nay, he is doing just a vicarious ma'isa mitzvah. The madlik here is the owner of the house. By what mechanics? We claim bias. The Prima Godim has his approach. But now, the bracha, paradoxically, is going to be on the ma'isa mitzvah. How could the shliach make a bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah? The answer is, because in the context of this unique shlichus, the shliach is no longer is doing nothing more than implementing the ma'isa on behalf of the baal habayis. Through the mechanics of bayis, through the mechanics of ownership of the neir, whatever you'll have it. Maybe, as Sam says, we have to go with the Chacham Tzvi, that not only is he lighting in the bayis, but he's also one of the B'nai HaBayis. We have an absolute linkage and a tziruv between his Maisad Loka and the Mishaleh. If this be the case, Rabosai, listen to what I'm about to say. If the Osa HaMaisa is the Madlik, is the Baal HaBayis, then watch what goes on in the case of a woman who is already Mekabela Shabbos. If she asks someone else to light the candles on her behalf, because that person has not yet been Mekabela Shabbos, she is in violation of the Shabbos. Why? Because the halacha recognizes that Yenim's Maisad Loka is her Maisad Loka, and she was already Mekabela Shabbos.
Can you just repeat this?
Okay.
The case of
what
the
I'm doing
woman,
now
case of the woman, just
is a pedagogical shtick, and I'm hoping you'll catch it. Okay? The Rav always used to say that 90% of teaching is acting. So I became an actor. Okay? I'm following the footsteps of my rhythm. If we accept this principle of shlichus miyuchedes, the special shlichus that we derive from Kodshim, from Korban Pesach, that your ma'isa is my ma'isa, how could a woman who is already Mekabela Shabbos appoint me as a shliach on her behalf to light the Hanukkah candles because I wasn't Mekabela Shabbos, when I am just simply an extension of her arm and she is considered halachically to be lighting the candles? She's the Osa ma'isa. She was already Mekabela Shabbos.
So you're saying that according to your development, she cannot?
She can.
Right. Chas v'shalom. For her to violate the Shabbos.
It's as if she's lighting them and she already brought in the Shabbos. So
she already accepted
it. She can't appoint me to light on her behalf.
Nobody, I never heard anybody say that.
Well, I just said it. Why did I say it, Sam? Why did I say it, Sam? Because I think that this is the question that's being asked here. I just got to get the name straight on Kuf Lamed Gimel against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is on Kuf Lamed Beis on the left, on the bottom, and he says, "Let her appoint the shliach to light the candles." if she was mekabel a Shabbos. So the prima gadim and other achronim yell and scream, how could you allow such a thing? So and so is going to light the candles on her behalf, and she was the candles of Hanukkah, when she already lit the Shabbos candles, she was already mekabel a Shabbos lefi menagenu. How could you allow such a thing? And the Rutz Kitzvi is going to spend 8 pages to try to answer this question. But I understand the question. You know, understanding a Havamin is also important. Why did the Achronim have such problems with this Magen Avraham who allows her to appoint a Shliach to light Hanukkah candles after she was Mekabel Shabbos? The answer is because this is not classical Shlichus. Had this been classical Shlichus, nobody would raise a peep against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is absolutely correct. Let her appoint the Shliach. Because who's considered the Osa Maisa?
The Shliach.
The Shliach. The Shliach is in the driver's seat. What'd you find there, John? Did I miss a beat?
No. The Yad Yitzchak is here cited.
The Yad Yitzchak is cited?
Yeah.
By who?
Among the...
No, but I'm saying, is there actually a book here called Yad Yitzchak?
It says...
So you have to look on the top of the page, or the next page, you know... the way that book is structured is that whenever he moves from, let's say, the Sfas Emes over to another Mepharish, he writes the name on the top of the page. Can you tell me what's on the top of that page or the one before it, the one before
it? I have to find it.
No, yeah, because I want to know, you found the Yad Yitzchak?
The Yad Yitzchak is indicated here as one of...
Just give me a second. This is exciting for me. Wow. Chidushim al kol ha-talm. Then it's got to be in here. Go find it. He doesn't tell you what page to read. Wait a minute, but let's see when he lived. This is interesting.
It may be different. There was a Yad Yitzchak who did Kiddushim, and then this Yad Yitzchak did Shuvas. I have the Shuvas.
Ah, because he quotes the Shut Yad Yitzchak. Yeah, but he quotes the Shut.
The Shut is everything.
The Shut, Hari Kedah. Nishkin Raya, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So he says, Kiddushim al Talmud, Vilna Tuf Reish Chav Zayin. This got to be the one. Rav Yitzchak ben Tzvi. I'm sorry, Rav Yitzchak Tzvi ben Yaakov Kabel.
Now we know his name.
But his name is Kabel.
It's not a different one.
And he's a Kayan. And he's a Dayan in Kovna. This has got to be the one. This has got to be the one. But now you got to flip through the pages and see if you can find the Yad Yitzchak. Wow, this could be very... This could be very exciting. Where is the Yad Yitzchak?
I have it in my hand here.
Can you find it for me? I just don't have time. You have to keep flipping. You see on the top, when he shifts, it'll tell you which. So at some point, you're going to find the Yad Yitzchak here. I hope. I think, because otherwise you wouldn't have put it in the bibliography.
Yeah.
See if you can do me that favor. It should be coming up very short. The Yad Yitzchak. What time is midnight? It's okay. Anyway, we still have time. Okay. Israel Bosai. Who asks this question that I just asked you? Again, I'll repeat my question just to get you back on focus. How could somebody light the Hanukkah candles on behalf of her when the Maisa is her Maisa al Pidin and she was already Mekabel Shabbos? Who asks that question? What?
Zolke.
The Nebuke Yosef. The Nebuke Yosef asks the following question. How can you allow anyone to light a Ner Shabbos? The Ner Shabbos that you light before Shabbos is going to continue lit into Shabbos. And we paskin Isho Mishum Chita. Frank the Nebuke Yosef, every time I light a Ner on Erev Shabbos and the Ner continues to burn on Shabbos, I am violating the Shabbos. Because Isho Mishum Chitzov means that when the Chetz hits its target, that's when I'm considered the Baal HaMaisa. So for example, according to Isho Mishum Chitzov, Chitzov becomes Kocho, and in Zikin, that's called Adam HaMazik, in Ritzicha, that's called a Maisa Ritzicha. Now, you can't tell me that if I shoot an arrow now and it takes the arrow 5 seconds until it hits its target, that I was guilty of murder when I sent the arrow out. The Nebuke Yosef is not willing to tolerate such a thing. I become, chas v'shalom, a murderer, or in the case of Amalek, a kima mitzvah, when it hits the target. Correct? Okay. I just want you to know that 3 out of 10 I hit the target when I was in the offer. 3 out of 10. You could see I wasn't one of the future sharpshooters of Israel.
You're pretty high.
No, the guy next to me, he had 9 out of 10. The guy on my left had 8 out of 10. The guy out of my left, by the way, was not Jewish, he was Christian. His name was George, I'll never forget him. He had fought in Vietnam. Imagine, a veteran of Vietnam was in my pluga in the army. And he saved my life. Because he taught me how to clean my boots. No joke. I couldn't figure out how to clean my boots. I had another guy in my pluga who saved my life because he taught me how to take apart the Uzi in 8 seconds. I couldn't figure out which piece belonged to which. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, without boasting about my great prowess in the Israeli army, but what I do want to say is that the Muki Yosef asks this very question. How could you say Ishov Mishum Chitzov and then light a fire on Erev Shabbos? The fire burns and burns and burns. The oil becomes consumed. And now I violated the Shabbos? So for those of you who were with me, and I'm hoping that you remember at least the history here, of an article that we studied, an essay from Rav Herschel Schechter called Gzeros Derabbanan and Malachas Derabbanan. I think we spent a week, maybe 2 weeks on that. Rav Schechter quotes the Rav, and the Rav in turn quotes a Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin. Rashi establishes that the definition of a malacha in Shabbos is bekum vaseh and not b'shev v'altaseh. If I could be passive physically and yet violate the Shabbos through a malacha, does hasnik him malacha? That's not called a malacha. A malacha has to be done on Shabbos with an active violation. And the Rav built castles in the sky based on this Rashi in Sanhedrin. He said, that's why I'm allowed to put a pot of food onto the fire on Erev Shabbos, even though it cooks on Shabbos. And that's why I'm allowed to put a zera into the karka, even though it'll be nushrash on Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. And this is coming lafuke, the Rashash. I mean, the Rashash is a wild idea about Chil Shabbos and so forth and so on. But the Rav insisted, and he said that that's the answer to the Novi Yehuda's famous Kasha. The Novi Yehuda asked the Kasha, we paskin that Amir Ali Akum is a Shvus Derabon. And the Novi Yehuda was very bothered by that. If I tell an Akum to do something for me, then it's as if I did it, and therefore I should be in violation of the Shabbos. Again, there are thousands of answers to this Kasha of the Mukios. The Rav's answer was that I'm in a state of passivity. Physically, I'm b'shev v'altas. That's not called the malach. And therefore, the Rav said the answer to the Ruki Yosef's query is that yes, isho mishum chitzav, and I'm considered the mavir as ha'esh, but my body is in a state of passivity, of menucha, and therefore there's no malach. So and the Rav used to quote the Mishnah in Seder. The Mishnah says the following, a very exciting Mishnah. The Mishnah says that I have an animal in a room, the animal can't get out because I'm blocking its exit. And the Mishnah says that I don't have to move. I'm not considered in violation of Meleches Seder. Why? Because I position myself at that door before Shabbos. Frek the Rav and all the Rishonim way before the Rav. Why isn't that Meleches Seder? The only thing that closes and locks the escape route of this animal is your body, said the Rav, because you're in a passive state. That cannot be a violation of Melech. Melecha means that your body, your physical body, is actively involved. This has tremendous repercussions as far as machinery and setting up all sorts of clocks and whatnot. All modern technology. Why am I mentioning this to you? Because I believe that's the answer to this question, how the Magen Avraham could allow a person who was already Mekabel Shabbos to have someone else light the Hanukkah candles on their behalf. Isn't this a stira? Doesn't this undermine everything we've been saying now? That there's a new concept of shlichus, that you are my extension. You are the shliach, but I'm the osar maisa. It's not the classical shlichus. I'm considered to be the osar maisa. And even if it's a maisa shebegufo, if we have some sort of mitzarev, then it's my maisa. That's the new parish of shlichus shel kodshim. How can I appoint you as my shliach to be madlik near Chanukah when I was already mekal shanis? It's my maisa. The answer is yes. It's my maisa. I'm the madlik, but I haven't violated Shabbos. Why? Can you help me out here? Because my body is in a state of passivity, of sheviatas, of menuch.
Yeah, it's contradictory. If I'm the one doing it, right, because I have this new category where it's me doing it, then I'm doing it. The fact
you're doing it passively. It's like you're capturing... But listen, Don. Yeah, it's like you're capturing an animal, but you're doing it passively. That's not a malach on Shabbos. It's like you're lighting up a fire on Shabbos. Because Isha Mishum Chitza. And yet you're allowed to light that candle. Why? Because on Shabbos, you're not involved in a malach in an active way. You're passive.
Does the Tzeda come
before Shabbos or not?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, please.
Does the Amira have to be before Shabbos?
That's a question of Hilchas Muktzah, Vedabu Dovar, you know, what you're allowed to say, what you're not. So let's ask Alan's question. When do I have to say to you to go ahead and light the Hanukkah candle? So this again, you have to go back to Rav Shechta's article, not the discussion that we had now. Rav Shechta has a whole thing about shvus to shvus b'bein hashmoshes. What does that mean? Let's say I was mekabel Shabbos and it's b'bein hashmoshes. Am I allowed to tell a guy to do something for me? So the halacha says, again, you have to check it out. Please don't come to any conclusions based on what's about to come out of my mouth. That if I'm doing something with tzorach mitzvah, and it's a shvus to shvus, meaning I'm telling someone to do something for me, which might be a shvus of Amir Le'akum, or Amir Le'Israel in this case, and on top of it, what he's doing is not a maisa malacha, it's only a shvus in general, let's say it's bein hashmoshos, and I'm doing it with tzorach mitzvah, then it's mutter. Again, I'm not posketing for you. I'm just saying, ayin sham. You know, I'm giving you my makom. Rav Shechta works through this very carefully. Because usually, I'm not allowed to tell you to do something that I can't do myself. That undermines the principle of Adabu Dovar. Sometimes it might even violate the Easter of Shavuos of Amir Eliakim. Can I do it for the sake of a chole? Can I tell a guy to turn down the lights for the sake of a chol? So if he's a chol sheish bo sakana, I can turn down the lights myself. Turn down the lights. But if it's a chol who's bedridden, you know, that I can't do a malach on Shabbos, but can I violate a shmus b'makom chol? You remember? Any of you remember this? I mean, we spent a week on this. I would say to learn that again and again and again. Rav Shechta does an unbelievable...
I remember we studied it. So that's...
Okay, that's good. That's good. So you remember even more than a story. That's good. Most people, all they remember from what I said is the story I tell. And even that they don't remember. That's why they say you're allowed to tell a story every year, because the person remembers the story for up to 12 months.
Okay, Rav Shechta's idea is only because it's the Rabbanan standing in the condition.
No. That's a Doraisa halacha. Rav Shechta... Alan wants to know, am I allowed to tell you after I was Makabel Shabbos to light the name
before Alan?
Oh, so because that's because Alan took me off a little bit.
You differentiated between a Gezerah Derabban and a Malacha Derabban. That's what you started with, right?
No, honestly, Sam, you're light years ahead of me. I didn't even think about that. The name of the article is Gezerah Derabban and Malacha Derabban. I'm just giving a reference point.
I got it.
But there's a part of the article where Rav Shechta, one second, addresses a Doraisa, a very basic definition question of what Vos Heista Malacha Doraisa. We're not dealing with Alan's question about Shvusim and about Choli. And mitzvahs, okay. And Darton and Yenim. We're talking about a Doraisa issue on a malacha. We're answering a question of a Rishon of the Muki Yosef, who undermines the whole basis in his kasha for lighting a Shabbos candle on Erev Shabbos. Because Isha Mishum Chitza. At what point are you considered Madver as a Ish? When anything is going up in smoke. That took place on Shabbos, my friend. Otherwise, why'd you light the Nair? The whole purpose of the Nair is to benefit from the Nair on Shabbos. You can't light it on Shabbos. So the Mukio says, fine, you light it Erev Shabbos. For all intents and purposes, as if you lit it on Shabbos. And the Rav builds a whole structure based on a Rashi in Sanhedrin, based on a Sugya and a Mishnah in Seder. And I'm not even giving you the tip of the iceberg here, but the Rav wants to say, and it's a major breakthrough, that there ain't no such thing as a passive malacha. In other words, I can consider you from now till doomsday as if you're the Oses HaMaisa. But if you did it passively and you're not physically involved in an active way in violating the Shabbos, does Hashanah Kimalacha. That's just the way the Torah defines a malacha. There are many issues about what defines a malacha. We spent a lot of time in this. We call it Maleches Machsheves Asur Torah. So what is included in Maleches Machsheves? The Rav wants to add a whole new clause or condition to the definition of Maleches Machsheves. It's got to be a physical involvement in a malacha. I can stand from now till doomsday and convince you that conceptually it's your Maisa. But if you aren't actively involved in the Maisa, that's not called a malacha.
Not for okay. Shabbos, not for some
Shabbos. I meant to say Malach. Well, yeah. I would say it applies to Yontif as well.
No, no, I'm saying, but not for Shliach al Dvar Avera, if you hold
Yeshua. Not for murder.
Oh.
Right.
Yes, Shliach al Dvar Avera. You're hitting me with the kitchen sink over here. 1 second. Yes, Shliach al Dvar Avera. I see you guys all belong to the same club here. You know, you expect me to have Kol Targula on my fingertips. So what are you telling me about Yes, Shliach al Dvar Avera? I'm curious what you have in mind.
In conditions where there is Yes, Shliach al Dvar Avera, you can have the Avera, like by Goyim or whatever, you can have the Avera done even though you're sleeping.
Right, but not in Maleches Shabbos.
Okay, that's
what I wanted to ask. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
What's the answer to Alan's question?
No, again, Alan's asking about how am I allowed to tell you to do something for me on Shabbos?
Whether it's Dibur is a Maiser, not a Maiser.
Yeah, Dibur, you know, this Vadabru Dover, the certain things that you're enjoying from saying on Shabbos.
That's not
Yeah, no, no, no. That's all. That's why I tell you, you know, you have to know all the rules about it. Litzarf Mitzvah, and if it's a Shvus to Shvus, and if it's a Shabbos.
Stay on target with what you were talking about, the Rebbe. You said that if you're not capable of doing it, that the shlichus is, you can't make a shliach for that.
Right.
Well, it seems to me. I mean, how is that possible? For instance, like you're not going to be home, and you're going to be so panicked that your wife is going to light candles. She's going to light Hanukkah candles for you. She doesn't know that at the time you're lighting Hanukkah candles, you're in the toilet. So are you in Yotze?
Well, you're not even in Hanukkah yet. Right? That's what you feel like. There could be a 7-hour difference. Or in Australia, I think it's a 9-hour difference.
We're not getting into that.
That's a very sophisticated problem. But even just like that, you're in a place where physically you can't perform the mitzvah because of your circumstances.
You
say you're not Yotze. I thought, from my understanding, I guess I'm wrong, is that you can make a shaliah on anything that you have a key to do. If you don't have a kiyuv to do with it, if you're not holding in the parsha, you can't make a shaliah. In other words,
in mitzvahs, you mean? Yeah, you're not a bar chiyuv.
That's right. But if you're a bar chiyuv, then you can make a shaliah. The fact that you, at this very moment, are not able to actually physically do it because of circumstances doesn't make any difference. That's what I thought.
No,
but that's not what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying it, but I mean, you might be right. I don't know. Rabosai, let me take a look at how the Ratz Kitzvi interprets the Ramban and see if we can fit it into our perspective. His language is very different than ours, but maybe. Lefi Amavur, this is the last paragraph on Kuf Lamed Zayin. Nirash Kavanas Ramban Lomar. Shahad lokas ner chanuk shona mi yeser a mitzvus mikaven she'ein a mitzvah mutelus al gufa adon. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, it's very complicated in my perspective, not in his perspective. Meaning, I think that the Ramban is saying adarabba hadloka is the name of the game, and if hadloka is the name of the game, then it's a mitzvah mutelus al gufa shaladon. He's saying it's not a mitzvah mutelus al gufa adon, and he's going to claim that if you don't have a bias, you're not even chayav in the mitzvah ner chanukah. I'm not willing to go that far. I'm saying in the Ramban that wherever I have to fulfill that mitzvah, I can have a shliach operate on my behalf through this mechanism, this new category of shlichus, which makes me into the osa maisa adlaka, and that's not classical shlichus, because the shliach here is a nobody. He's an anonymous, faceless person. He's like a maisa kof bialma. But I'm not sure if the Ramban is saying, I mean, let me ask you this. When you see the Ramban, the language of the Ramban. Let's again, the three words in the Ramban. The Ramban says, Shiny hosam gabi adlokas nerchan da hadloka hi mitzvah. Give me an honest answer. A knee-jerk response. Hadloka hi a mitzvah. The Ramban's answer has three words to it. Is he saying that the mitzvah, as Rabbi Reisman would say, and I quote, Hadloka shonu miksharman, ain a mitzvah who tell us al gufa adam? Doshtein Ramban? Again, maybe I'm prejudiced here because I'm pushing my agenda, but I'm trying to be objective. I'm trying to be honest to goodness here.
You know, the Ramban is saying that the mitzvah is good, you know, about Adam.
That's not what he's saying.
I know, but that's what the Ramban is saying.
According to my pshat, it fits in perfectly. Yeah. The my mitzvah is to do the Shechitas HaPesach. I'm a member of the Chabura. It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. And yet the Torah says, you're doing the Shechita and it's my Shechita. How does that work?
Well, now you read it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, now you read
that's
it,
why I think the Ramban is saying, perfect. The reason why the Bracha is belamed is because Adarabba, when he does the Adlok, it's your Adlok. And if it's your Adlok, the mitzvah, the Bracha is with the Lamed.
Yeah,
he's telling me, man, that the Ramban holds that ain't a mitzvah who tell us al gufa. That's a little bit paradoxical.
I have just a linguistic reaction.
Yeah, I know you're a linguist, so sorry. I appreciate that. I respect that very much. You should know
that my kids go to the bonfire on the bomber. They say we're going to the hadlaka, and they mean they're going to the bonfire. They don't care about the lighting. That's cool. The hadlaka. Did you see the hadlaka? Okay.
All right. So maybe that's what
he
said.
I heard that sense, but he didn't live in Beit Shemesh, so I don't.
Yeah. But
what do I want to gain from him that maybe we could use for our purpose? This is on the next page. He says, "V'dami bazel mitzvahs mezuzah." And here I get very, very excited in a very positive way. You know, I'm really enjoying this shtickle Torah here. Why? Because I believe that the man, Rabbi Reisman, has touched on a brilliant gold mine over here. That the bracha ner Chanukah is lekvah mezuzah. Ribbeinu Shalom, pukfakeret. Intuitively, I would have said that mezuzah should be a classical example of al kvias mezuzah. Why is the bracha with a lamed? If I'm looking for a bracha for a mitzvah, that's a paradigm of efshal yedei shliach. What would be better than mezuzah? Wake me up in the middle of the night. Ask me the question. Give me a case, Rabbi Berzon, of a mitzvah I can do through a shliach. I would say mezuzah. So Vosef is Likvah Mezuzah. And here I think he touches on a gold mine. That Mezuzah, the purpose of the mitzvah, is the goal end, is the Totza'ah, as we call it.
There is a Mezuzah.
Exactly. If that be the case, Rabosai, maybe he's revealing the secret to this new Shlichus that I've been hawking about. Give me guidelines. When can I organize or orchestrate a new kind of shlichus that shouldn't work? And the answer is A plus B. If the mitzvah is begufo, but the thrust of the mitzvah is to achieve a certain goal, it's totza'ah oriented. Those two paradoxically different, almost antithetical and mutually exclusive elements are going to produce this new category of shlichus, which, as the Prima Gadim says, is lav shlichus ma'ish.
But you have to be a baal of ma'is.
Wait a minute. Let me just try to develop my idea, okay. And then you'll slug me up. I want to suggest that there's a paradox built into the essence of mitzvahs ner Chanukah, and for that matter, the same applies to the mitzvah mezuzah. I have to put up the mezuzah. I have to be madlik the ner. That's what the Ramban emphasized. Hadlaki a mitzvah. But yet, the mitzvah is very much goal-oriented, outcome-oriented. I want to make sure that my bias has a ner chanuk for pirsumanis. I want to make sure that my bias has a mezuzah. There's a paradox here. It's like mina kotzel a kotzel. So I think the Torah came up with a solution in a case of shlichus of kodshim, and that solution is that whenever the mitzvah is a mitzvah sheba gufo, but it's oriented and geared towards a goal, towards a totza'ah, a situation of matzav, the Torah says, let that maisa shebegufo be implemented by someone else. Why? And here's the paradox. Because that someone else is equipping your bias with exactly what it needs, whether it's a mezuzah or a ner chai. Are you with me? It's like shnei ksuvim achiyo v'kos v'shlish. The shnei ksuvim amachishim, it says, on the one hand, the Torah wants you to be involved in the ma'isa. On the other hand, the Torah is saying that the thrust of your ma'isa and the goal of your ma'isa is outcome-oriented. It's for the sake of a totsot.
How do you get the mezuzah? How do you understand that mitzvah is a goal-oriented? The pasuk ukshartem uksaftem. I mean,
it says beisach
directed at the person,
right? It says beisach. It's like ish ubeisach. You understand my paradox? Yeah, the ish tells me, well, get involved in putting up a mezuzah, but the beiso tells me that your goal is to see to it that your bias is equipped with a mezuzah. You have to allow for a little bit of conceptual thinking. Al mezuzos beisach. Equip your bias with a mezuzah. Again, if I want to be fancy about it, I would quote the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says that mezuzahs are chovas hadar, and Rashi explains that every time you go in and out of the house, you're protected by the mezuzah. The bias is giving you protection because the bias is equipped with a mezuzah. I never understood that Rashi, because that Rashi is philosophical. And if I were to raise my hand to the Rav Shi and said, Rebbe, but the purpose of the mezuzah is to protect me when I go in and out, he would say to me, get out of here. Don't give me philosophical answers, but Rashi quotes it. Yeah, if you take a look in Rashi, in Masechta Psochim, on Daf Dalet, I think it is, or wherever the sugya of mezuzah is, you'll see that Rashi says this, that there's a shmira that's offered by the mezuzah. So my goal here in this mitzvah is to equip my bias with this protection called the mezuzah. It reminds me very much of Makeh. Right? To protect myself. But here the protection is more spiritual. And again, you don't have to be a Lubavitcher to say, check the mezuzahs. No, not serious. I'm not joking now. When I was a kid, we used to laugh. You know, all these anecdotes and these urban legends. You know, oh, he found a hole in the word banecha, shanta levanecha, you know, check your mezuzahs. You remember this? And we used to laugh at this. But maybe it's not so funny. Maybe it is funny, I don't know. If it's funny, that's good, because I like to laugh. But I don't know if it's so funny, I take this very seriously. Because the Rashi says himself, if somebody can get me more himself, I'll read it to you, that the purpose of the mezuzah is to protect you when you go in and out of the house. Well, what do we put up that sign that says, Shomrata b'knisa, what does it say? Whatever the pasuk says. I'm sorry, I'm a little. Oh, so memela, the mitzvah is goal oriented. If you could open up Sam to the daf dal. But again, I just want to finish this one idea and see if you like it. This is going to give me the guidelines for this magical type of shlichus where I'm involved in an obligation that's begufi. A ma'isad loka, and paradoxically, I can send the shliach. And magically, this is called a shlichus, a new category of shlichus where I'm considered the bala ma'isa. You are the garnished here. You have no identity. You have no responsibility. You have no control over the ma'isa. You're just an extension of my arm. How could it be? And the answer is because we're in a paradoxical situation. On the one hand, the Torah requires you to be the bala ma'isa. And there's no shlichus for various reasons. But on the other hand, the Torah wants it to be goal-oriented. And the Torah says if it's goal-oriented, let him be your extended arm. You're going to be the Bala Maisa. He's going to implement the Maisa. And your bias is going to be equipped with whatever totza'ah the Torah requires. And if this be the case, Rabbosai, perhaps the bracha for for Bedikas Chometz should be Levayer Es HaChometz rather than Al Bir Chometz. Why? The same paradox exists in Bir Chometz. On the one hand, the Torah says, I want you to get involved in an action of Bir. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, went even very far. He says, Ein Bir Chometz El Esreifa. Chachamim didn't go so far. They didn't isolate and pinpoint for you exactly which kind of ma'isa beer you have to employ yourself. Hashbasasa b'chol dov. But it's a ma'isa. And Reb Chaim builds worlds on this assumption that it's a Maisa, and he says that's why we apply the principle according to Rabbi Kivega in the tour of Nasis Mitzvaso, and that's why after you burn the chametz you're allowed to be nene from the Efer, the chametz. Again, I'm just touching on issues here that have to be researched very proper, very, very thoroughly. But at the same time, the Torah says Tashbisu for the purpose of reaching the goal of being chametz free. It's a goal-oriented mitzvah. So when I get involved in bir chametz, the bracha is going to be liva eres hachametz. And why is that? Because we're not dealing with shlichus. You have to get involved in personally implementing the ma'isa srei for the ma'isa bir. I can appoint a shliach. That's not classical shlichus. Because shlichus, in the case of a mitzvah, is that he is setting up my bias on my behalf. The sreif on the beer is my sreif as the Baal HaBayis, not his sreif as the shliach, because he's not the classical shliach. He's doing from his perspective a maisa kofia. And therefore the bracha should be live via esachot. And all this I derive in a very strange way from this one paragraph here on page Kuf Lamed Ches. Did Rav Reisman have this in mind? We'll have to write him a letter and ask him. I doubt it. But I just want to use it for my purposes. And at this point, the floor is
yours. You're saying that this is through the fact that you're the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis. Mm-hmm.
That's the mediating.
That's the connection.
Right, or you're one of the Bnei HaBayis.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. Fine. There's so many else. What about the Gemara and Shabbos?
I just want to quote you this Rashi. Sorry, Al. Mind-boggling Rashi. Was Rashi the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Listen what Rashi says. This is Halakha Rashi. He says, Chovas Hadar, who's obligated to the mezuzah? After all, you own the house, and I'm living in the house. I'm obligated to the mezuzah. So Chashi Farvos. And Rashi says, Lefisha hi misham rosa. If the Lubavitcher Rebbe would have written this Rashi, I would be very happy. Lefisha hi misham rosa. You know what I mean? This sounds like, you know, what do they call that? The Sfaradim, you know that?
Chamsa.
The Chamsa. It sounds like the Chamsa. You know, the Chamsa of my house, and I'm not trying to be pejorative, I know we have some Sfaradim in the audience, or married to Sfaradim, right? But the Chamsa of my house is the mezuzah. I'm an Ashkenazi, and I also have a Chamsa, says Rashi. What's my chamsa? The mezuzah. Uksiv beisecha, and Rashi builds it on the word beisecha. Beoscha. Beisecha means when you enter into the house. It doesn't mean you own the house. Beosecha. Nichnas v'yotzeba. You go in and you go out because you live in the house. And the mezuzah is mishamros. I'm telling you, for years and years, and probably for the rest of my life, I'm misspoiled from this Rashi, that the mezuzah is misham rosa. It sounds like it's coming from a different source, if you know what I mean. But I won't go into detail.
But the Din of Achsonai is mentioned in Shabbos, right around Chav Gimel, I think.
Yeah. You're already a block and a half ahead of me. I didn't get to Achsonai.
No, I have to do Chav Gimel tonight.
I see.
But
I don't know if you have to do the love this on Chav Gimel. You know, we just have to make a siyum out. You know, yeah. You know, don't skip any lines. You know, and they want me to make the siyum tonight. I mean, I don't know. Thank God there are no special brachas that you recite in the siyum.
He said he gives a pruta to me, so he's just mishtatek in the oil.
Yeah, right.
Who cares? He's mishtatek in the oil. He's not a Baal HaBayis. He's no bailus.
Yeah.
Look, I can't tell you how this works because we have to get to the sugya, but I'll tell you the bottom line. Somehow, and don't ask me how, the magic is that by mishtatev in the pruta, he becomes one of the Bnei HaBayis. I can't explain that to you. Yeah. If a person is somach al shulchan aviv, then he's one of the Bnei HaBayis.
You can't be mishtatev in the furniture.
Yeah, that's why. That's
food,
what,
just
that's
why, the oil.
In the
that's
name.
What he could have said.
Right.
No, it could have said.
He's definitely.
Said pruta was. He's kona. A pruta's worth of the bias.
Yeah, they're not saying that.
He
no,
say
no,
that.
No.
But he could have said that.
If anybody tells you that, just tell him to see me. I have my means of dealing
that,
with such a
that
person.
That makes sense, at least. Because then
no.
Sure. I have two tangential comments.
Yeah.
Rebbe used to tell people who are physically sick to check their tefillin. not the bais. Ah. And secondly, I just heard last
not the mezuzah.
Right,
mezuzah. The tefillin.
And then I heard last night from the Rabbitchov quoted that the reason we do al lahamliach tefillin and al mitzvah tefillin is that by shaliyad it's the maisa. And over here, the mitzvah, it should be on there. It's a mitzvah of staying there.
Right.
But if it's a non-name, right, that means I can have shliach to do it.
As
I said before, listen carefully. There are three. There are three situations in which there's no shlichus. Situation number one is a maisa kof, what we call it, totally mechanical.
Because you don't need it.
And there's no shlichus in a maisa kof.
Because you don't have to do it either.
Category number two is a case where it's totally a mitzvah shebegufa, without any sort of chefza, without any sort of bias, without any sort of tikkun. The Torah wants a maisa hanocha. And category number three is a mitzvah shebegufa with a goal oriented to change the bias and equip the bias, fix it up. Here we have a new category of shlichus. It's not the classical category of shlichus. If you ask me about tefillin, tefillin is a maisa hanocha. I put the tefillin on and I take it off. If you ask me about Shal Rosh, that's a little more complicated. Because Rav Soloveitchik used to always say that when it comes to tefillin Shal Rosh, the kiyum is not the maisa hanocha, but having, he used to call it the Rav, Leos Ma'utar B'tefillin.
Like mahu, some people said the same with mila and
Leos mu'utar b'tefillin. So that's a whole new category. But the Rishonim say that they didn't want to repeat the same bracha twice, once for tefillin shel yad, once for tefillin shel rosh. Even though in minyan mitzvahs they counted separately, even though ein tefillin ma'akvin says,
even though the Sfarim don't make the second bracha,
they don't make the second bracha. I don't make the second bracha. Thank God I never made the second bracha. Although there are situations in which even I would have to make the second bracha, but I never found myself in that situation. Say be posa pela satan. But those who make two brachos, the Rishonim say, the Rosh and others, that the reason for two brachos, one with a lamin and one with a beis, is and with an al, is because the halacha didn't want to repeat the same bracha twice. So the Rav says the following: what do you mean you didn't want to repeat the same bracha twice? Why can't you repeat the same bracha twice? So the Rav wanted to say that the first bracha is on the maisa hanocha, that's lohaniach with a lamin. The second bracha is on lios ma'utar b'tefillin. And Leos Bota B'Tefillin, the Rav had Kama V'Kama Rayas, applies to Tefillin Shel Rosh only. The Rosh himself, I don't mean Tefillin Shel Rosh, but the Rosh himself says with regard to Tefillin Shel Rosh, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yarmimcha, that when they see your Ma'uta B'Tefillin, your Neskadish B'Kedushas Tefillin, they're afraid of you. Halavai, they should be afraid of you. I never saw a guy run away from me because I was wearing Tefillin. My father had protection because of his goat, but not because he wore Tefillin. Alright, Rabbosai, I want to take this opportunity. Thanks everyone. I had an enjoyable week. I'm mamish living on cloud 9 here with Hanukkah. And I thank you all. I hope that everyone has a wonderful Shabbos. We should be Zocha, that this Shabbos should be a special power for Hashem through the mitzvah of Chesed, Titen Chesed Avram. We should be zochim Hashem to all the tremendous schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says was granted and was, how should I say, singled out for Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, b'schus the chesed of Avram and Sarah Imen. Okay, have a great Shabbat.